Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Top Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot. And Johnson.
Isaias, Guido.
Isaias?
Isaias.
Storm. There's storms.
Tropical storm.
Is it early this year?
It feels early,
It feels early this year for hurricanes and tropical storms.
I mean, really, Hurricane Alley is like late September, October. I mean, we get a few things before that, but this feels early. And actually, this is like
Is it hurricane or hurricane?
Well, if you were in the Taze Valley area, it would be
Hurricane
Isaias, probably. But if you're watching the Weather Channel, it's Tropical Storm Isaias. And I think it's like the 12th named storm, Scoot, something to that effect.
It's easily my number one least favorite name. Come on. Give me something that we know.
You want them to be easy, though. You want them to be like Ike.
Herb.
Bob.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
Steve the Storm.
Steve. Hurricane Steve.
You never
get a Hurricane Steve.
No, you don't.
Remember that year Steve came by?
Well, hopefully we don't get into the S's. I'm not interested in getting to the S's.
Well, what did we do for the first several? I don't even know they existed.
I think they should have to pick up wherever they left off the previous year. So if it ended in the P's, they should have to pick up with an O name next year. Because I want to see what they do when they get to X and Z. And I want to see Cantori try to name a storm that way.
Yes.
Hurricane Xylophone coming at you.
Not Joe Tessitore.
Scoot. No.
Tessitore. Yes.
Steve Cantori.
Scoot sometimes gets Tessitore and Cantori. I mean, they both have very Italian
last names. Yeah. No, that's not me. It's a friend of ours that does that.
Some good news this week. Very happy. Friend of the show, Rex Sunahara, signed as an undrafted free agent.
Yes.
To long snap for the Dolphins. How awesome is that?
How sweet is that? That is amazing. So happy for him.
Rookie long snapper that was a sixth round pick this year, Blake Ferguson out of LSU, could not get through the COVID test, so he has to sit out for the COVID protocols. And Rex gets called up to do the long snapping duties.
So Even if this is temporary, Guido, this is a great thing for Rex. Just
Absolutely.
Seeing his name included, getting the experience of being there. I mean, that's super exciting for him.
I mean, even if he doesn't, even if for some reason this other long snapper gets through the protocols and comes back, I think it's a great opportunity for Rex to be, you know, get some tape, get seen by other teams. You know, I think that Scoot, the NFL is kind of like a good old boys club. So I'm sure like one special teams coach calls another and says, hey, I got
it's this guy. The network of coaches, right? So
yeah, right.
I'm on a staff, but I used to work on a different staff and I'm good buddies with somebody on that other staff. And guess what? They just had an injury. So I call my buddy and say, hey, listen, we've got this guy. I know you have an injury. He's third or fourth on the depth chart. I know you need some help. You know, he'd be the guy for you or something, you know, stuff like that happens all the time.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope that maybe Rex and Josh Groudon will get on the same CFL team and I'd love to see that. That'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I'd become a CFL fan.
There might be maybe another rookie on the Dolphins that you may have heard of.
Okay.
Tua Tagovailoa. Have you heard of him?
Really?
Really?
I hadn't heard of that, Scoot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
is he a good player?
Is he good?
I hear he's good. He's he throws the ball though. He doesn't snap it.
Okay. We're usually just interested in the snap, the long snap.
Yeah, I don't really care about people who throw footballs.
Kind of neat for Rex to get to, you know, be in some meetings and things with guys like that are household names more so than not to say that Rex won't become one, but just kind of a neat experience for him.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. No, I'm excited for him. You know what I'm also excited for? The chance to beg him to come back on the show now that he's a member of the Dolphins.
That's true.
Or maybe you want some Dolphins merch? Is that what you're looking for? Some Dolphins swag?
I mean, it wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Johnson just wants to say we interviewed NFL special teamer
I do.
Rex Sunohar, right.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd like to see you do that interview in a Dolphins helmet.
I mean, whatever needs to be done.
If that how it works, we'll do it. Whatever. Basketball, guys. So I promised last week as we finished the show that we would talk about a little bit of basketball. So we'll start off talking about it. First is just to say that Kitty Blakemore, who was basically the person who started women's basketball at WVU, has passed away. I think she was 92 years old. Is that correct, mm-hmm. Johnson?
Yep.
And so big loss for the program, but you know, just thoughts about Kitty Blakemore and the Blakemore family and everything she brought to the women's basketball program at WVU. So
yeah, and to think where the program is right now.
I mean, you're talking about a program that's played in the NCAA tournament, had top 10 teams, definitely.
Yeah.
To talk about men's basketball, you know, it's I have to say something, and Johnson, and I'm not even sure how to put this. This is the first time, I think, in Huggins's, definitely since 2010, and I think in Huggins's career at WVU as a coach, where there has been so much hype and there's been so much preseason press by big names, you know, Dickie V, all these guys that are talking about how good this WVU basketball team is. And I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, I think that's because I think you're pointing that question at me because we are kindred spirits. Scoot will cut me off at any second, but I'm going to try to get it out there before he does. We're kindred spirits on, I don't want all the flash up front. I don't want a lot of notoriety because I feel like that's a just impending drop off somewhere that I'm afraid of. So I'd rather almost be under the radar. I don't need all that preseason.
Bracketology, preseason bracketology has us ranked being a number 3 seed going into March Madness,
which is huge.
You know, we've got, you know, Kedrion Johnson, who, you know, I don't think will be a starter this year, but was one of the leading scorers in JUCO basketball last year. He averaged something like, 26 points a game. I just feel like this is the year that we're getting all of this hype. And one of two things is going to happen. We're either going to play, and it's going to be painful. And it's not going to be good. Or
you have two options, 50-50.
No, but this
chance.
Is how a West Virginia fan thinks, Scooty. You say this. This is how a West Virginia fan thinks. One of two things is going to happen. We're going to play, and all that hype's going to get squashed, and we're going to get plummeted. Or COVID's going to get us, and we're not going to play.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'd be afraid of, Scoot, is that the season never happens, and then we do the what-if game.
So here's the thing, fellas. At some point, you have to get past the underdog. Okay, you've got to get past it. And maybe this is the year you get past it. Because, like we've said, WVU fans are always waiting for the bottom to fall out. We'll get on our text thread during games. And you guys have written off the season 8 minutes. Like, within the first two TV timeouts, you've written off the season. This team's no good. We can't shoot. We don't rebound. You know, all these things. You got a whole litany of reasons why the referees are out to get us. Ted Valentine runs funny. You say all these things, and and I keep telling you, give it time. You have to let it marinate a little bit. Well, it's been marinating, okay? We had a rough season 2 seasons ago. Last year wasn't too bad. You could tell that it was on the uptick. You know, we had that rough stretch there where we were, 5 losses in 6 games or something there, like at a bad time, you know, end of January, early February, we kind of hit a rough spell there, and that was rough. But we are one of the few teams that finished their season on a win. Typically, when you finish your season on a win, you're the national champion. So in my mind, we're destined for greatness.
Well, I think, Guido, my fear is more the latter, that something happens, you know, the COVID lingers. We don't even get the opportunity to see what this team can do. That's maybe my biggest fear.
And I think the reality of it is that it's going to be augmented somehow. Like, you know, normally it's whatever, the second, third week of November, and we're starting to see these weird games played that teams we're playing, like, whatever, Allegheny College.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And I can assume that none of that's going to happen. None of those Thanksgiving week tournaments probably are going to happen. So, like, you're already starting off with the fact that most of that's probably going to be gone anyways.
Can I float an idea?
Float it.
Okay. Here's my thought.
Okay.
Right. So a lot of the colleges have already moved up their semesters. So that in many cases, they're not coming back on campus after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So in my idea, we run a gigantic tournament. Okay. Maybe a...
Is that the title for it? Gigantic,
gigantic tournament.
Gigantic tournament.
So if this is what you go with, then you can no longer make fun of the New River.
That's true. That is very true. So maybe you've got, your standard 68, or maybe you add, I don't know, whatever you do to make it work numbers-wise, whatever, 72, 76, 80, whatever. And from the time that Thanksgiving break is over, the players go into like a quarantine-like phase, right, where they test. And then maybe over the Christmas, New Year's holiday, you crank out this puppy.
How do we seed gigantic tournament?
That's a good question.
So you're saying no regular season has been played.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, listen.
Go right into gigantic tournament.
Gigantic tournament would be awesome.
I like to enunciate it too. Gigantic tournament.
Wouldn't gigantic tournament be awesome?
Well, what would constitute gigantic?
Like,
are we going up to like 80?
No. That would be monstrous. That would be the monstrous tournament. I'd say 80. You got 80 teams.
Okay.
So wait, the gigantic tournament only has 16 more teams.
It's slightly bigger. Yeah, it's slightly bigger
tournament
than March Madness, but deemed it gigantic.
And what if you used, preseason rankings? Or you took preseason rankings and, conference preseason rankings or something of that ilk and get Joe Lunardi on it. He can come up with something.
I mean, all Joe Lunardi's doing right now is sitting there just filling out brackets.
He's doing nothing right now. Come on, this guy gets paid whatever he gets paid, and he's doing nothing.
He's got more time on his hands than usual.
Get off the recliner, get out of the pool, and start putting some teams in a hopper so that we can pull these. That would be a great way to do it. Put the team names in a gigantic bingo hopper. Or like
the NBA does with their draft.
Ball thing.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I wish everyone could see the hand movements and gyrations that animate this selection process in Scoot's mind.
Very similar. It reminds me very similar back in the day when I was in college. Group of guys on our floor got into the NCAA tournament. It was all exciting. So we took all the teams that were in the tournament, put the names in a hat. And then we drew the names out of a hat for a couple dollars, and then that's the teams you were rooting on. So maybe we get a gigantic hat for this team pool.
Okay.
But some kind of way.
The tournament has the gigantic hat.
Yeah, the gigantic hat.
I mean, this is marketing genius right here.
But then is the season, is what you're saying. Gigantic tournament is then the season.
It's the start of the season. Let's say it's the start of the season. And if it ends up being the only thing because of the quarantine whole situation where it's semi-bubble-ish, if you will.
Well, this is very very much like what Huggins had said in that one interview back in March where he was like, let's just start the season off with the NCAA tournament.
He did say that.
He did say that.
But I think you can have control based on everybody's
last year.
I mean, you look at the TBT, right?
Yeah.
That went off without a hitch.
No, it did.
I mean, you had a couple of teams
successful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, I think the challenge being is that you're right. You'd have to do it in the month of December or whatever to quarantine these players.
Yeah. The length of the season is your enemy, right? Because there's just too many windows for opportunity for things to happen.
So let's get back to WVU real quick. Let me ask you guys a question. Let's say, let's play doom and gloom, worst case scenario.
I'm good at this. All right.
Yes, you're good at this. We don't have a season. Everything's canceled. All right, no games, no nothing. So I think reality says that you're going to lose players, but does Oscar go to the NBA or does Oscar come back?
Well, I guess my first thought is, do you think there's an outpouring from coaches and administration to do something about eligibility for these
guys?
Well,
there definitely will. I mean, I can't imagine. They've already talked about how they won't lose eligibility, and then all these conferences are talking about the football players opting out and how that affects their eligibility. And
because I tend to subscribe to the Scoot viewpoint on this, that if I'm a player and I'm of a certain age, you know, I'm early 20s, then I need to maximize those years. I need to get the most out of that time that I have to be at the top of my game. So I guess to answer your question, Guido, I think as much as I would hate it, I think if I'm somebody like Oscar, I've really got to consider moving on. I can't continue to not test the waters of the NBA and try to maximize that potential, right? I think that's my first thought.
Here's a good question. Does playing a season hurt guys more than it helps them, right? So like you might have a couple of preseason guys that are well-known names that are preseason guys. Maybe they don't do as well in a jacked up season.
Well,
does that hurt them? I know the NBA typically doesn't look at all of that. They look at the
actual
player.
I'll tell you, Scoot, I agree with you, because I think a guy like Oscar, it probably doesn't hurt him. Like, I think Oscar's maybe a late first round or second round pick in the draft if there's no season.
Right.
I think a guy like Culver, who could have a really good season and maybe his draft stock goes up, or maybe he gets a G League contract out of it, he needs the season. So I think there's a definitely both sides of that story, you know.
Well, that's why I look at let's go back in time real quick. I know we don't like to go back, and this is kind of off the script here,
but back in time.
Let's go back in time to, I think it was 2012 with Kevin Jones and his last year at WVU. He led the Big East in scoring, led the Big East in rebounding, and he wasn't player of the year. Jay Crowder was player of the year. Jay Crowder starts in the NBA. Right? And
right.
Me, I'm, you know, I would say I'm a basketball fan first before I'm a football fan. So I'm pretty attuned to basketball stuff. I'm amazed that Kevin Jones didn't get what I would call a fair enough shot. Now, I'm not at his workouts. I don't know what he looked like. He could have looked like dog crap for all I know at his workouts. But I would have thought his resume would be such that would have afforded him maybe a little bit more of a look. But, you know, that's what I'm, you know, I'm thinking.
For some reason think that the NBA and NBA drafting sometimes is very, you know, especially once you get past those top 3-4 guys, starts to get a little fickled in a lot of ways. You know, these NBA teams look for different things than what you see necessarily in the college game.
Well, and there ends up being a lot of people in the first like 10 picks that I've not even heard of. You know, it's either someone that's been scouted from overseas, for example, stuff like that. So right. The NBA can really, I don't know, they're really creative sometimes with the way they draft. But I think for somebody like, I'm just thinking for somebody like Oscar, he's not going to want to continue to be treading water at the college level. He's going to want to try to, you know, if I had the chance, if I had his talent and had the chance, I'd want to be checking that out and trying to maximize whatever my earning potential was.
The scout in me tells me that Oscar needs to be able to jump shoot, be able to be a jump shooter.
He needs a little bit. He definitely needs some more finesse basketball.
Yeah. I think the year would be good for development. I'm just saying that, I would be hard-pressed to see him, you know, right, continuing to stay.
Well, we'll see, guys. I really, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that there'll be basketball and hope that that we at least get to see this WVU team put together a season. Let's talk about, though, WVU football now. So a lot's happened in the last week since we talked, most notably being that the Florida State Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic has been canceled, as we suspected last week, which, you know, I think it's interesting that we look at it now and we were even thinking that that game was going to happen, seeing that all these conferences were already at that point starting to shift to this whatever 10-game, you know, 10-plus-1 plan that they're all putting together. And so with that has come lots of rumors of what WVU does. Now, of course, as we record right now, I'm looking at Twitter. It's a Monday night, and the Big 12 still has not announced. They are the only conference, big Power 5 conference that hasn't announced their scheduling plan. Thank you, Big 12. So rumors started this week of, well, what does WVU do to fill in these games that are gone? The Maryland, the Florida State. One of those rumors, Johnson, which I'm sure has you super excited, the Marshall University athletic director kind of said, oh, you know, we're looking to fill some time too. We could play you guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, they both have a open date now, September 5th. Yeah. So that's kind of where that got going. And I think, you know, it's one of those things with, because I was going back and forth a little bit with, let me make sure I get this right. So JM Kreitz 53 on Twitter had put out a poll and he said, you know, who would you rather play week one, Marshall or Pitt? And so he got 527 votes, which I think is quite, you know, it's a decent sample size. And 87% of the people said Pitt. And that's kind of where I was. And I think it's one of those things where if conferences are kind of, which I'm assuming the Big 12 will too at some point, Guido, but conferences are doing this mandate of like it has to happen in your home state, you know? Right. That's going to lend more credence to something like a game with Marshall, and it probably would make it easy to set up and get that filled and at least get some kind of revenue or, you know, eyeballs on a game on September 5th. But I think just generally speaking, if you're asking me, it's always one of those like, okay, like that's fine. But I'd always rather play a Pitt, a Virginia Tech, a Maryland, somebody like that.
So all of these conferences, Scooty, have finally said what their plan is. And you've got, you know, you've got the ACC now doing 11 games with the 10 plus one non-conference games. SEC is doing conference-only games, 10 conference-only games. They're all pushing their start dates to mid to late September on average. What do you think is the best move for the Big 12 at this point? 9 plus 1? Do they do 9 plus 2, so they're playing 11 games? Does it really matter at this point?
I don't know that it really matters as much. You know, here you guys are glass half empty on basketball. I'm going to be glass half empty on football in the sense that if you go 9 plus 2 or try to have a 12-game schedule or whatever, in reality, that's probably going to be more games you have to cancel.
Right.
It could be more work for you trying to get all these, you know, just logistically and legally and contract wise and all that stuff. So I would say if you're going to do anything, go with the 10 game schedule like all the other conferences have come out with. And, you know, maybe you push it back and hope for the best. I don't know. I just don't know. Football's so hard to play with a virus like this. Like if it were, I mean, and I think I speak for everybody in the world when I say, I wish it were cut and dry. Like Guido, I see that you've got purple polka dots. You've got the virus. So stay away from right. me because I don't right. want to catch it, but it's, you know, the three of us could have it currently. We have no idea. Cause you know, I feel like we're three fellas that are fit as horses around here. You know, we're like thoroughbreds.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. But we wouldn't know, and we may not know that we have it. Again, it's such a weird time. And I don't know how, I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It's become politicized. And I guess I understand why it's politicized, but I don't think it should be. And I don't think there's, really politicizing it doesn't really help anybody. It just makes things more divisive and worse. So I don't know. I think you stay 10 games, try to keep it as simple as possible and roll with it.
And Guido, for the other thing too, just back to the Marshall potential, to me it's a little bit disappointing anyway for the people that are really clamoring for a game like that, because how many people are going to be allowed to attend in person to begin with? Well, you know, a lot of that game is the, you know, I'll give you a lot of the, if you want to say the fun or the drama of that game was a packed stadium wherever it was held. You know, that was kind of the draw of it, is everyone in the state could, the people that really clamor and pine for that game, they usually say, you know, that's a weekend that the whole state can come together and it's a, you know, it's supposed to be a celebration of the two teams in the state. Well, By who then? By like the 10,000 fans that are allowed to go in.
Right.
So to me, it's another thing that we're probably going to get all lathered up about, and then it's not going to mean a whole lot when they aren't allowed to play some of these games. I think I'm more in Scoot's camp. I don't know why Big 12 hasn't already come out and said it, but I would rather they just come out with let's try to get through whatever the base schedule is. Let's knock that out and let's move forward.
Yeah, let's just play let's start September 12th or whatever that weekend is.
Yeah.
Let's just play conference games. And then if you can get a plus one, try to add it at the end of the season.
Yeah, right.
Add your Marshall game, add your Pitt game, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yep.
Another interesting thing that's kind of happening in the world of college football, guys, that I wanted to talk about was this whole thing going on in the Pac-12 right now, where you had a group of students called the Unity Group. They're calling themselves the Unity Group, come out and pretty much say, give demands. We're not going to play unless these things. And there were things in there about social injustice. There were things in there about COVID. COVID protocols. One thing that came out that I didn't even realize is that most of these institutions are asking students to sign limited liability waivers to come and play football at their institution, which is kind of frightening when you think about it. I mean, we're older adults now. We understand what that means. If you're a 20 or a 19-year-old that wants to play college football and you're signing a waiver that says, you know what, if I get the COVID and can never play football again, it's not my school's fault. It's my fault. And I get that that's a decision that they need to make, but in the same sense, they're also still kids. It's kind of interesting to see this start to happen in the Pac-12.
I personally, and this sounds maybe contrary to me normally, but I don't like it in the sense that I think maybe coming from a non-college athlete, although I feel like it was overlooked in many different sports,
sure.
Yes, definitely.
I think the three of us would have loved to have been a part of a team. So for us to come across and all of a sudden now give demands as to, or requests or whatever it may be. Now, you want to request social injustice type things, that's fine. If the demands are special treatments or, you know, certain living conditions or things of that sort, to me, chances are the athletes have some of the nicer things in the schools. So that's why I think a lot of us, you know, average athletes, I mean, I guess I'm talking for you guys, it would be a little frustrating that all of a sudden now you've got these athletes who are asking for better stuff than they already have, and they've got some pretty nice stuff.
I think that, and I'll let you go here in a second, Johnson. I think that one thing you got to remember, though, Scoot, is we are heading down, like it or not, it doesn't really matter what anybody's opinion is. We are heading down the path of pay to play in college football. And one of two things is going to happen in, you know, the next 5 or 10 years. I was actually listening. I never listen to the Boomer and Geo show. I do not like Boomer Esiason. Just want to go on record and saying that. I was listening to Boomer Esiason this morning, and he said something really interesting. He goes, with this happening in the Pac-12, with the name and likeness stuff that's happening in the next, you know, year or so, and once everything normalizes, he goes, I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see college football go away in the next, you know, whatever it is, 5-10 years, and it become more of a minor league system, just like Major League Baseball did with their minor league system. College baseball was big 50, 60 years ago, and then the minor league baseball system was created, and college baseball died because all those kids, now 18 years old, had the opportunity to sign these contracts, lucrative contracts, and make money. And I think that football is slowly but surely heading down that path.
Well, and what I thought was interesting in the article that you linked to, Guido, and we'll put it in the show notes, but the ESPN article goes into how it says someone, you know, I guess the Pac-12 had kind of reminded these folks then that if they met all of these demands, then it would pretty much mean they would not be eligible to participate in NCAA-sanctioned competitions because of those changes. And so, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but the response was kind of like by these folks was, okay, well, we don't need the NCAA. And so that feeds right into what you're saying, in my mind, is then you're heading, you're starting to head down a slippery slope, whether it happens with through this initiative or in a couple years, you can just kind of, you kind of start to see that then you're forming a different organization that does pay players that looks like a minor league feeder for NFL football. So yeah, it's interesting. I was surprised to see this, not for the demands on transparency around health and safety, because if you read that part, I actually don't think that's impractical. Right. I mean, I think they raise some good points. It's what they then go on to include in there. You know, I think it's just something that it'll be interesting to see how the Pac-12 accommodates that and tries to move the conversation forward, because it sounds like they were kind of digging their heels in.
Well, The Rock bought the XFL today, so maybe he'll start taking those 18-year-olds.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I wonder where that leaves our litigation between
Oliver Luck suing the XFL.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Do you think Oliver Luck becomes a professional wrestler in like a weird twist of events?
A weird twist of events.
In order to kind of
like money back,
get so some recoup, revenge
to recoup
on,
some of his financial losses, The Rock offers him an opportunity to be a tag team partner in a future WrestleMania.
That's amazing, Scoot. What kind of his catchphrase would be like, "Your luck's running out, sucker," or something like that? You know, like what would his catchphrase be?
Your luck's not on your side. And he just gives him like the people's
looks like you've had some bad luck, brother.
Gives him like the people's signature or something. I don't know what he would do. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
because
right?
He signs contracts now. He's not as much an athlete as he is more of a business guy.
Oh no, Mean Gene, he's bringing out the contract.
Starts hitting him over the head with it.
Yeah,
just pounding him over the head with the contract. That'd be great.
Gives him
that'd
the severance, good, so. The severance pay. They call it. Bam! Hit him with the severance pay.
Now I'm starting to think about, like, man, how you could start to get other athletic directors.
Well, let me tell you something. Shane Lyons, have you ever seen Shane Lyons in person?
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, dude might drop the people's elbow on somebody. Yeah.
Shane Lyons,
he's kind of a
big
dude.
Big guy, man. He's
He's kind of a big dude. I think he'd represent us well.
He's every bit of 6'4", 6'5". He's a big cat.
Maybe you're onto something, Scoot.
I would love to see. Could you imagine if we had the athletic staff, just in general, Huggins and Lyons as a tag team? Those are a couple of big guys.
Some big dudes.
And then you throw in Mike Carey. I mean, that's a force
well,
to be reckoned
listen,
with.
Listen, maybe that's how you settle the gigantic tournament seeding.
You call it, would you call it the BBWO? The Basketball World Order? Just laying the hammer down.
Mike Carey's. What's Mike Carey's finishing move? Like the stash.
The stash. He's got, like, the stash and dash. Bam!
Stash and
hits
dash.
Him with the stash, then runs away. The stash and dash.
All right. Well, listen. Let's take a quick break here. We're not going to come back and talk professional wrestling. We're going to come back and talk about what happens if we do play football and there are no fans or some fans or some sort of fans in the stands. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortec Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortecKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortec, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortec Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, find us on the social medias. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears, and you can find us on Facebook. Just type in Got Your Ears On. We're on there somewhere. We tweet out, retweet all the stuff about our show, what we're talking about, and, you know, sometimes our random thoughts. So check that out at Got Your Ears. Guys, so I wanted to talk about here in segment two, I wanted to talk a little bit about your thoughts on, let's say we do play, West Virginia does play. We have a home game. Coming up, what's that weird non-conference game we got this year, Johnson? That's coming up the first.
Was it Eastern Kentucky?
Eastern Kentucky, that's right, Eastern Kentucky. So Johnson, let's say we do play Eastern Kentucky at home. Shane Lyons has already come out and said that they are looking at models with 20 or 25% capacity in the stadiums if that.
Can you pause right there for a second? When you said he was looking at models, I always thought you were talking about models for the fake audience.
Yeah.
he's been scouting some models. He's brought in some of the folks from Let's Make a Deal. He's got some of the virtual Barker's beauties.
Let's just talk about, are we even going to talk about the fact that there's 20% capacity in the stadium, or does that not even happen?
My continuing question to this, Guido, is how do you enforce it? Like, 20% assumes, in my mind, that they're socially distant, and that's why there's only, 20% in the stands, so that's great. But then how do you keep those people social distant?
Well, take, for instance, this weekend at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. So New Hampshire Motor Speedway, they had a NASCAR race. NASCAR!
Right.
76,000 capacity. 76K is the capacity for that, what do they call that? Track.
Trioval?
So 76,000, they only allowed 14,000 people in. Everybody had assigned seats, and you had to buy tickets. No bigger groups of 10, so 10 family members could be together.
Oh, I see.
Okay. They were taking everybody's temperature as they went in. So that's how NASCAR is doing it now, with letting people in. NASCAR being the only professional sport right now in the United States that's allowing fans in the stands. So, that's the first part of it, is if you allow 25% in, are you taking their temperature? Are you assigning seats? Are any of those students, are you allowing any students in, or is it just regular season ticket holders?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say we allow 20% in or whatever. First of all, the college kids are not going to stay in one spot. They're not going to, like, if you've got, row double Z and you're at the top and you see that, row A is wide open except for four people sitting in row A, why am I going up to double Z? Like, come on, man. The other thing is, I do think it's more possible if it's outdoors, but you've got some places, some schools that play indoors. I'm thinking like Georgia Tech. I think, don't they play indoors sometimes, like the Georgia Dome or the
Tulane does?
Yeah, some of those schools play indoors. Is that a difference? And is that fair that, our college happens to have an agreement to play at the Louisiana Superdome, and so now we can't have fans, but when we go on the road to play our arch rival, they've at least got some fans, So I don't know. That's a tough question.
Well, I guess my other thing too is we're witnessing sports right now with no fans at all. And actually the NASCAR is the first one I've heard, Guido, where fans were being allowed in a venue. So I guess based on everything else, baseball, basketball that we're seeing, why would we suddenly think that college football could just have a bunch of, and not a bunch, but what I mean, fans sitting in the stands? That's what I don't understand.
NFL's trying to do the same thing. So NFL's saying, some of these teams are saying 20%, 25%, 30%, whatever capacity. It'll be interesting. But let's go to the realistic. I'm going to be a realism, take you to some realistic thoughts now.
Yeah,
nobody's going to be in the stands like that. No. I don't think it's going to happen.
That's my thought too.
I don't know how you would do it. I think you've got to do what NBA and MLB, all of them are doing. But here's where it gets interesting. How does that, especially in college football, not just NFL, but in college football, how does that change the atmosphere? Like, are you piping in the crowd? Are you doing what these the European soccer leagues are, like playing like the team chants?
Should we ask Pitt football what's going to be different? So how is this much different? Or, but think about this. You guys have watched, and I know we pick on Pitt all the time, but back to your realistic conversation, like, they literally do not draw very many fans at Heinz Field.
Well, and so my answer would be, just like when you go to Pitt, I don't think there's much home field advantage then. Like, to me, the reason you pack a stadium, then that's your 12th man, that's your big home field advantage. If you don't have that, if Eastern Kentucky comes into Mountaineer Field, they're not nearly as intimidated if 60,000 strong aren't in the stadium. So that would be my answer, is it's now all on your team, your sideline, your coaches, your guys to get you pumped up and keep you pumped up, because you're not going to have that crowd.
I do think that could help some of those teams that are not as highly rated earlier in the season, right? So let's say you're WVU and you've been picked to finish eighth out of 10 teams. Well, since it's all somewhat even in the sense that you don't have that extra variable. Now, I'm not saying that fans are going to make you the best team in the conference, but it certainly might.
Well, I guess I would play it the other way, Scoot. I see what you're going after, and I guess I would play it the other way as a reason to kind of bolster what you're saying. I think if I'm Oklahoma and I'm playing at home and West Virginia comes in, usually I've got that big, you know, boomer right. sooner base behind
and
me.
That crash.
If that's not there, then maybe it's easier for those you know, a play doesn't go my way or something, and then I get a play that's back on track, but I don't hear that crowd noise. Maybe it's easier for those doubts, like, hey, maybe those guys could actually get a win
right.
here from
right.
us. You know, maybe that stuff happens. I don't know.
It's.
I think the other side of it, too, is to talk about, so, you know, we go to a game a year, maybe, most like most fans. I mean, you think there's, you know, all these fans and not all go to it. So now let's look at the TV side of it, which is, so now we're watching a game in Mountaineer Field with no fans in the stands, maybe cardboard cutouts of me, the three of us, you know, and Josh Witt and the raspy voice.
Right.
Guys, we'll all
it's the only thing that makes sense, yeah, really.
I really just have the podcast cutouts all over the place.
Yeah.
But so we're watching a game now. Chances are band won't be there. Are they piping in noise? Are they doing the Major League Baseball thing where they're piping in crowd noise and somebody's hitting a button, a cheer button every time the – you know, they get a first down.
I'd say yes. I'd say yes. Otherwise, it feels like a scrimmage.
And I think yes, too. But then what are the – I guess the same rules apply, right? Because they already pipe in music in certain spaces. I guess they
can
just –
I'll tell you.
Adhere to those same rules.
If you watch German Bundesliga football, they've got the crowd chanting. Like, it
right.
it actually makes you look around. You're like, wait a minute. I didn't think they had people in this place. Like, it's legit – like, I don't know what they've done, but they've...
You just wanted to say Bundesliga.
Bundesliga. Yeah.
Is it different with football? Like, so we watch a lot of baseball, and so, you know, the general sound of a baseball game on television is this sort of, like, low, crickety sound
din,
in the background.
If you will. I believe that's the professional term.
Yeah, so
din.
I think with baseball, it's not as disconcerting. Like, in football, I think it would be disconcerting.
Right.
Like, wow, this is weird. I think when I watch a baseball game and that's going on, it's not really that weird.
What about, so, and then we could talk about, like, what NBA is doing. So NHL is not trying to do anything. So if you watch the NHL games, I know you guys are big hockey fans. If you watch the NHL games, they're not doing anything. There's no fake crowd noise. There's no superimposed fans. There's no cardboard cutouts. It literally, like you said, Scoot, is like a scrimmage game. I mean, you hear the puck hit against the boards, and it's like smack. It sounds like a crack of a baseball bat.
Well, and you also hear if a player messes something up and drops a big F-bomb, you hear that clearly too, which I think is funny.
Baseball's been having that same problem,
yeah.
too. You hear it in baseball too.
What's interesting in baseball, I feel like they stopped the crowd noise in extra innings. I was watching a Pirates game the other night, and all I heard was the players. It was kind of weird. It was as if, like, the guy doing the crowd noise fell asleep or something. It was like, oh, crap, I'm supposed to keep that going. Or, like, the continuous loop shut off because of the sleep timer on their
like you went home.
Yeah. I'm not getting paid for
like
this.
I'm off
yeah.
shift.
I'm out of here. I only get paid for nine innings. I'm going.
I don't get overtime. I'm out of here.
And then you've got the NBA, which the NBA is, it's super interesting watching NBA games right now because they have home and away teams for NBA, which are all playing in, you know, this bubble, this same basketball court that they're all playing on. They superimpose the home team's logo on the courts on TV, which I think is hilarious. And then they've got these giant screens that have fans watching on Zoom. Up on in the background. So then you've got the NBA doing their whole thing.
I really think the NBA has been pretty fun to watch as far as that goes, which makes me feel like college basketball could be done. I don't know how, but it could be done without fans, because that kind of gave me hope that it could be done without fans.
I think basketball is easier. It could be easier to do without fans. I mean, it's so funny because Think about the little nuances between professional television, televising professional and college basketball. In the one shot, the wide shot on college basketball generally has the student section you could see in the bottom half of the screen, right?
Yeah.
NBA's never like that. If you ever watch the NBA, they always crop the fans and you're always getting just a full court shot.
Would you be opposed to, I mean, we've got all this kind of digital technology. Would you be opposed to networks CGI-ing fans into the stands?
What is it? WGN's doing it with Chicago games, with the Cubs game.
Are they?
Right. Yeah, they're doing. It's really weird. It's super weird because, like, you'll see a fly ball out to the outfield, and the camera will bounce a little and move a little, and the fans don't move, but the whole stadium moves. I don't know. I think I'd rather see it empty and just pipe in the crowd noise.
Yeah, I would almost rather just have no fans and maybe even no crowd noise, because I'm going to in the back of my mind, I'm going to be like,
it's all fake.
That's fake. And like when I hear it, I'm going to say, that's fake. That's kind of corny. So I would almost rather just have none of that stuff.
One last TV thing, guys. I have something to admit to you guys.
This is deep.
This might be, I mean, I don't know. I got to tell you something though. Guess what I did this week?
I'm afraid to ask.
I canceled my ESPN Plus subscription.
Oh man, I did that a while back.
I canceled it. You canceled yours?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I mean, honestly, I was only using it for WVU sports. So
yeah, and seriously, I didn't really want to watch any more E60s that I've watched 30,000 times.
Right.
It was. I've let it go. I've canceled it. So
I just assumed I'd pick it back up when
I'm holding
this
out hope.
Got going. So
yeah,
I've still got it.
All that's on it right now is MMA fighting, and then like old episodes of E60.
There's some soccer.
There's some soccer on.
Johnson is a newly minted Chelsea fan, by the way.
I am. Yeah, Scoot and I have been talking about this.
Wow.
We're getting into it.
That's how bored I am. I watch something.
I follow the Premier League a little bit, but Johnson is... He's getting into it. He's been wearing scarves. He's waking up a little earlier on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings to
go into the pub
to catch the fellas on the pitch.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. But yeah, so I got rid of it. So we'll see what happens. Because my thought process was, you know, if they happen to play games, maybe I'll pick it. Like you said, Johnson, maybe I'll pick it back up. But
yeah, I just assumed I'd pick it back up. But I, you know, Guido, I hate to keep saying this, but I think every episode I'm going to chime in with my vote until something convinces me otherwise. But I like what we're talking about. I like the plans that are being put in place. I would like to hear the Big 12 have more of a plan, by the way.
Right.
But maybe they've announced it while we've been talking. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I do not see how any of these games are going to be played. Please, United States, prove me wrong and get, you know, college football, but I just do not see how it's going to happen.
I think, and so this is where we'll get into it, I think that we're seeing it with Major League Baseball. If you compare what's going on in the NBA and what's going on in Major League Baseball, you know, it's two complete different situations. NBA completely bubbled. Major League Baseball is falling apart. Now the Cardinals aren't playing for a week. And I know it's because – I know why. I understand it's because these players are making bad decisions. But these are adult professional players making bad decisions to go out to bars and restaurants and casinos where the NBA players don't have that opportunity. The NFL players and the college players are going to have that opportunity to make that decision to go to the bars and the restaurants and the –
Well, and I think actually what we talked about earlier, what you brought up with the Pac-12 schools and the demands of that group of students, I think that's going to play a role in it too. And that may actually, you know, another hurdle that they're going to have to answer to. And I think some of the stuff they need to, there's some safety demands in there. I mean, I'm not saying it's all oddball stuff, but I think that's one more thing that now commissioners are probably stepping back like, how do we address that? You know, how do we answer? How do we keep this stuff moving? So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. And I'm still on, I don't know, you guys throw your votes in there, but I'm still on the pessimistic side of seeing this season this year.
We just need to figure out what the hell we're going to talk about once all of this falls apart. What are we going to talk about on this show? Scoot's got to come up with
food.
Something.
We'll have food.
We're
competitions.
We're just talking about food every week.
Food competitions.
Literally. Food competitions every week. This week in food with the Got Your Ears On guys. We'll do like a cooking
It'll
show.
It'll be like Funnel Ears. Got Your Funnel Ears On.
All right. Well, listen, let's take a break and we'll come back with everybody's
elephant ears.
Segment.
Got your elephant ears. Funnel ears is not a thing. Funnel cakes is a thing. Elephant ears is also a thing. You're not going to have funnel ears on.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you for the clarification on that. Well, listen, let's take a break. We'll come back with everybody's favorite segment. Can't believe my ears. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On, Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check out our website, gotyourearson.com. Johnson, it's sort of like the hub. You find everything out about us there, right?
That's where you find it. And we always, like, we say this every episode, but if you're new listening to us, we always try to put anything we talk about, we try to put it in the show notes and put the links to where we saw it right there. So if you want to follow up on something that we talked about, just hit up the website and you can click on the link.
You can get Scooty's shoe size there. You can find out, you know, my favorite color. All of that stuff's on that website, I think, pretty much, kind of. All right.
Maybe.
Check it out, gotyourearson.com. Scoot, tell us what you got for I Can't Believe My Ears.
Okay, well, of course, it's the summer. We're into the summer months. And yes. I think you guys both like to do some swimming. Is that correct?
I mean, I do swim.
You don't like swimming? You don't like swimming?
No, I'll swim.
Would you guys say you're swimming fans then? You like to watch swimming?
Like professional swimming?
Like yeah. Yeah, like in the Olympics.
Olympic sport swimming?
Yes.
No.
No?
No.
I will actually go. I'll go the other side, Johnson. When the Olympics are on, I actually kind of like watching the swimming on the Olympics.
Okay, yes. When the Olympics are on, but just generally speaking, when I'm flipping channels, I'm like, oh man, where's the professional swimming for me to? No, I don't do that. But yes, the Olympics. Okay,
I think you're missing out.
I mean, I'm sure if you had kept your,
I'm not sure where this is going, Scoot.
If you had kept your ESPN Plus, I'm sure there is swimming on there all the
time.
You
probably could have caught some swimming.
Well, there you go. Now I'm gonna be at a deficit.
Well, yes. Maybe you've heard of her. Apparently, Johnson may not have because he's not watching. But Katie Ledecky,
yeah,
five-time
sure.
Gold medal winner and 15-time yes. world champion, did something okay. swimming in a pool recently that I think might be interesting to you fellas.
Okay.
She swam 50 meters balancing a glass of chocolate milk on her head.
Do what now?
Without spilling a drop.
What? All the way across.
All the way across.
End what prompted such an activity?
I'm not sure.
I guess is my first question.
I'm not sure, but she, to prove that it wasn't a hoax, at the completion of her 50 meters, took the glass off her head and had a swig.
Wow. So where do you fall on chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk would rip me up. I used to be a big fan.
Lactose and diet. Like I used Scooty to be an ice cream store.
So
not a good
that's
scene.
Essentially like a big soft serve cone.
It's like
for
a big
you.
Slap
you
in the
can't.
Face to me because I would love to drink it, but it doesn't like me back. So, my thought is, if the three of us, who could make it the farthest, balancing a glass? And this was a glass. Like this is not a red Solo cup. This was not a tumbler. This is not one of Johnson's. Hydro flasks or whatever he calls those things, these metal things that he drinks from. This was a glass of chocolate milk. Which of the three of us could make it the farthest without spilling a drop?
Yeah, I'm going to say me.
I'm going to say Scooty.
I think Johnson as well.
Oh, really?
And you want to know what my rationale is? Yes. You want to know my rationale? Well,
oh, okay. Here it comes. Here comes some backhanded reason of why I balance it.
Johnson has got quite the cushion on his head in terms of hair that I feel the cushion from his hairstyle could in turn balance this.
I could kind of
you could nest
like,
it in there,
seed it in there, yes, in it, like. Yeah.
Nestle it into the boosh that is his hair.
Why am I agreeing with this?
I do think that maybe Guido has the biggest landing area for the glass, but...
I do. I have the largest.
But I think that Johnson's might secure it a little bit better. It's almost like a little seatbelt for the glass of chocolate milk.
So now it was on the very...
It was on a swim cap.
I'm going to have to put this...
Not a swim cap.
I'm going to have to put this in the show notes, Guido. I'll have to find this and put it in the show notes. But so it was on the top of her head or like...
Top of her head.
Like on the, kind of like in the back area.
Yeah.
Yeah, the back top of her head. Like if your head was like...
So now she cheated by using a snorkel.
She used a snorkel. I saw it. Yeah. So she was able to keep her head still the whole time. Because think about swimming, you got to like pull your head out of the water.
I just wonder like what the conversation was that led up to this.
Yeah,
event.
How do you decide to do this? Like, what is it?
I like coffee.
I mean,
should I try it tomorrow morning? I got a pool.
I think you should try it.
Try
and we should post
get
it.
Get the mug.
You should try it. And Dubs, your lovely wife, should send me a video of it. And we'll make sure it gets up on the internet.
I'm thinking
this
about
needs
doing
to
it.
Happen.
A hot cup
this
of coffee
needs to happen.
On my dome.
No, this is a terrible idea.
100% needs to happen.
This is a terrible idea.
Please do this.
I think we can do it. I think.
I feel like this is where the show is going to go if there's no sports. It's just going to be us challenging Scooty to do things every week.
It will be.
It will.
Yeah, it will be. And to report back with video.
I am a very graceful swimmer. I mean, I'm like a hot knife through butter in a pool.
I'm still waiting on the video, Scoot, of the wife doing the whole testing of the sponges in the face.
Yes, that is also we're gonna do.
We need
this.
To see
we've
that.
Still
as well.
We've still got to challenge that record.
I don't want to pay $450 or whatever that like ridiculous fee is to get into the Guinness Book. Like that's like paying for a record. Come on.
I think
well,
if you paid
that. What Katie Ledecky did has to be a record.
I would say,
right?
Yes.
I mean, what's the longest distance without spilling a drop of chocolate milk? I mean,
now, is this milk still cold? Does the temperature of the milk matter?
If she drank it at the end, so she swam across the pool.
Yeah, I mean, if it's chilled when it gets on the swimming cap, I don't see why it
would. Yeah, it would stay
do
cold.
You, I mean, but do you Come think on. Like it started off cold or it was room temperature when it started is what I'm getting at. Like, is there a temperature that's more... proficient to swim with?
Oh, you're saying
in your chocolate milk? When you're swimming with chocolate milk, what's the temperature you want to have?
There's a temperature that's proficient. Is that what
I did say? Proficient
to it not being spoiled, and that's keeping it cold. So,
I mean, is there like
we're gonna trick Katie by not only having her go 50 meters,
milk.
But then hijacking it with spoiled milk at the end? Like that'd be just come on, man, that's terrible.
What do you call this, Scooty? What is this competition called where you try to swim across the pool with milk on your head? Is there a name for it?
I don't know. That's a good question. Do you call it the...
It's not the Moo Challenge.
No,
that's already been taken.
No. Is it the...
Is it the Crossing the Delaware?
Maybe it's the Dip and Sip?
The Dip and Sip?
The Dip and
I think
Sip.
You just coined something.
I think that's what it is, right? You're taking a dip?
Hashtag dip
then
and
you
sip.
Take a sip. The old dip and sip.
did she just take a sip or did she chug it?
She took a sip. She didn't chug.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was warm. Because
chugging milk is not a great idea in general.
I've been there.
So
it's not good. Not good. Could not be good. The reason why I'm not enjoying chocolate milk anymore.
Oh, poor Scoot. Well, you definitely have to. We'll see if Scoot does this, and we'll post it on the on the Twitter and on the Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got a lot of challenges
with hot coffee. Hot coffee.
Yeah, I'm going to call that. I don't know, the Flo and Joe?
Flo and Joe. I feel like that would be the name of the barber shop that you would open that also sold coffee.
That would be a great name for a hair.
Welcome to Scoot's Flo and Joe.
Yes.
That's a great business concept.
Yes.
You're like a barber shop.
Coffee
come in,
place.
Get a cup of coffee, shoot the breeze, get your hair cut.
Yes. See?
Come into Flo and Joe.
I like it.
Then maybe they'll sponsor us. Maybe we can get them to sponsor.
Yes.
Now that we've given you a free idea.
Right.
Scoot, as a pool owner, is it hard to clean? Like when you do this and you spill coffee in your pool,
yeah,
is that a bad
you get
scene?
Coffee everywhere in your pool.
I don't know.
Is that bad?
That's a good question. Is it?
I mean, has a libation ever been spilled in your pool before?
Not while I've owned the pool, to my knowledge.
Okay.
Now, I mean, I imagine in a odd way, it's akin to somebody peeing in your pool, right? It's a foreign substance in your pool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I assume it'll dissipate because the water is of the pool is much larger than the amount of coffee.
True.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think we would have to go to our chemistry expert, Mr. Johnson. Johnson, you've taken several chemistry classes. Will this affect the the pH of my pool? Will the alkinity, is that what that's called? Alkinity?
That's definitely not what it's called. None of the courses I took, surprisingly, Scoot, prepared me for a question about spilling coffee in a pool. So
I would assume it's acidic.
But I'm going to think you're going to want to...
Might it lower my pH? Isn't pH the opposite of acid? Right?
I'd say it's probably gonna, yeah, it's probably gonna add to, you're gonna need to rebalance your pH, right? If you're doing that.
I guess I'll have to get the little test kit out. We'll measure before and after.
So Johnson, what you're saying is you should have taken that pool sciences class at WVU.
Yeah, I missed out apparently. Yeah.
You also are assuming I'm gonna spill it.
Is it a pool or a pool?
It's a pool. I'm going out in a pool.
You're going out in the pool.
Pool.
Got to trim the bushes by the pool.
Yeah. Wait till Johnson gets that cushion inside the pool, and then he's swimming with the Choco milk. He's got that Nestle Quick there on the dome.
All right, well, listen, guys, thanks for another great week on Got Your Ears On, another great episode. We'll be back next week with another show, probably talking about what the Big 12 has decided to do and if WVU has any football games scheduled in the near future.
I'm sure they will announce as soon as we're finished.
They always do. Monday night, 9 o'clock, we'll be done.
Otherwise, the name of our show will be called Polls and Such.
Hey, listen, maybe we get a bit of better listenership out of that. Five people that are probably downloading this podcast during non-WVU game season.
We have a friend in Josh Witt from Unreasonable Doubt, Unsuspicious,
yes. Unnecessary
Unsuspicious
Proposition.
Convictions, or whatever the name of that show is.
Unsuspicious Convictions. He's got to rename his show.
He challenged me to eating cheese curds.
Actually, he did not.
You challenged him, and he didn't accept the challenge.
Okay, well.
Yeah, you're throwing this smoke his way.
And then you keep challenging him over and over again every week.
You keep throwing it.
I'm also going to challenge him in the dip and sip.
You're going to do, oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you think Josh is a pool guy? Do you think he?
I don't know. He may be like a baby pool. Maybe he's got a baby pool.
baby pool. I'm just saying. I don't know. I don't know if he's a pool guy. I mean, he might not be. He might not be a guy who wants to do any sort of swimming competition.
We could all video. You could do it in a lake, Guido.
Oh, yeah. I could. I got a lake. I could do it in a lake. There we go. Johnson doesn't live that far from the ocean, I don't think.
You can do it is there a river in New Bern? Can you do a New Bern River challenge?
Sure. Yeah. Someone could, I'm sure.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with another show, I'm sure. Who knows what we'll be talking about. If you need to know more about pool and pool service, tune in. So I bet you it'll be good. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget, you can find us online on social media at Got Your Ears and on our website, gotyourearson.com. Look us up on the Facebook as well. And don't forget to listen, like, and subscribe. Tell your friends. It's a great podcast about WVU sports, even though they're not happening. They will again someday. We promise.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. You've been listening to Got Your Ears On.